Welcome to installment 328 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's commandment is positive commandment number 180, continuing with our discussion of the laws of testimony, this time to punish those witnesses known as Zeimimin, who have found, whose testimony has been completely uprooted and contradicted, in which case the punishment is inflicted upon them as they wish to inflict upon someone else. The law of witnesses who are Zeimimin was discussed briefly in Prohibition 285 from yesterday's shiur. As we discussed then, Zeimimin means more than just a false witness. An Eid Zeimim is someone who has been definitely found to have lied, not because we have a number of witnesses who contradict his testimony, but rather we have determined that it is impossible that this person can offer testimony whatsoever. As we explained yesterday, two individuals testify, for example, that someone committed a crime in London. Another two witnesses come along, and not that they say the person did not commit the crime, but they say, you witnesses could not know that such a thing happened. You could not testify about such a thing, because on the day that you testify this has happened, at that particular time, we saw you in Paris. We saw you in another place. Not only do they say that the event did not happen, they say, we don't know about the event, but we do know that you are unable to testify about such a case. Therefore, you are definitely false witnesses. It could be, say, the second set of witnesses, that the event happened. However, you are invalid witnesses. In such a case, the first set are called Eidim Zeimimin and are punished according to the law of positive commandment 180, as related in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 19, verse 19, Vasisem Lei, you should do to the witness who was found to be Zeimim, Kasher Zomam La Seis La'achiv, as he wanted to do to his brother. Whatever would have been the punishment as a result of their testimony, that punishment is not inflicted upon the defendant, but rather inflicted upon the witness. For example, should his testimony have resulted in a loss of money from the defendant, instead the witness has to pay. So too, should the punishment have been lashes to the defendant, and he was discovered to be an Eid Zeimim, instead the lashes are given to the witnesses. And even if the punishment would have been death, that they were testifying in a case of capital punishment, a capital crime, that if their testimony had been accepted, the defendant would have been put to death. The law of the Torah is, if before the punishment has been executed, the witnesses are found to be Zeimimin, the witnesses are rather put to death, since they attempted to kill, so to speak. They attempted to have the defendant executed through their false testimony. Instead, they are executed. They are rather put to death. In his legal code, the Rambam deals with the question, why should we believe the second set of witnesses any more than the first? Perhaps the first are lying, true, but perhaps the second are lying. How can we determine which are lying? Why should we believe the second ones? And to such an extent that we put the witnesses to the death. Witnesses to death. No one even accuses the witnesses of having committed a crime of murder or some similar crime. The only thing they are accused of doing is issuing false testimony. Why should we believe the second witnesses any more than the first? The Rambam says that this law of Eidim Zeimim is Gzeres HaKasuv, that it is a decree of the Torah without any reason, that in reality there is no reason to believe the second set more than the first. Nevertheless, the Torah has decreed that we believe the second set if they testify in such a manner, completely disqualifying the first witnesses, and therefore they are believed not because it makes sense to believe them, but rather that the Torah has thus decreed. Other commentaries, however, do try to bring reasons why the second set of witnesses are believed over the first. One explanation given is that the testimony is a different type of testimony. In a regular case of hakhosha, or contradicting testimony, both sets of witnesses are testifying about an act. One set of witnesses, for example, will state that a certain crime was committed by a person, and the second set will say, no, we saw it committed by someone else, or something of the sort. In our case of Eidim Zeimimin, it's a different sort of contradiction. if there are contradicting testimonies, such as Hakahasha, as we mentioned, both sets of witnesses are thrown out, since we have no reason to believe one over the other. However, here there are two different types of testimony. The first set of witnesses is testifying about an act. They say something was committed. The second set of witnesses are not testifying about the act. They are testifying about the first set of witnesses. They are saying that you are wicked. You could not have testified in this case. And there is no one to contradict these witnesses. In the first set, the witnesses are testifying about an act. And anything which would contradict that would be on equal grounding. We have no reason to believe more than another. But the second set of witnesses, when they come and say, you could not be a valid witness in this case, because at that time you were with us somewhere else, these second witnesses are saying more than the event did not take place. They are saying that you are invalid witnesses. And these first witnesses can say nothing in return, because people are invalid to testify about themselves. So when the second set of witnesses come along and say that you are wicked, you could not have been at the time of the alleged crime at that place, in this case we believe the second set of witnesses, because there is nobody to contradict them. The first set of witnesses are invalid to testify about themselves, therefore we automatically believe the second set. Should witnesses testify in a capital case and try through their testimony to get the defendant sentenced to death, the law is that they are only put to death after the judgment has been completed and before the person is executed. Should the person be executed in actuality, then the witnesses who are later on discovered to be false, to be zeimimin, are not put to death. This was a major disagreement at the times of the Talmud between the Jews and the Tzedukim, the Sadducees, who rejected the oral tradition of the Torah. The Tzedukim literally interpreted every single verse and refused to accept the Torah oral interpretation, and said that the Torah states, nefesh tachas nefesh, a soul for a soul, a life for a life. Therefore, when do we put these witnesses to death? Only if the life has been lost, only after the defendant has been executed. This is what the Sadducees said. But the Chachamim said, we have a proof from the verse that we can see clearly the oral tradition is correct. The verse says, kasher zomam la'aseis la'achiv, as they attempted to do to their brother. So we see that when are they put to death? Only if they attempted to have their brother put to death. But if he was actually put to death, then the law is they are not put to death. The witnesses are not punished. The Talmud tells the story about Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabbai, who was eager to have this opinion of the Sadducees contradicted. And he said that he was waiting for the day he would be able to put to death an eid zeimim, a person who testified and was later on found to be a zeimim. At that time, Shimon ben Shetach overheard him saying this and said, you are lucky that you did not spill innocent blood, because the law of Eidim Zeimimin is that you can only put them to death if you contradict both of them. If you only find that one of them is Zeimim and not both, then you cannot kill even the one that you have found has lied. You must prove that both of them were not present at the time. At that time, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabbai realized that in his eagerness to defeat the Sadducees and keep them from misleading the Jewish people, he almost made a terrible mistake in judgment, a mistake in law, and would have put someone to death. And at that time, it says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabbai accepted upon himself never to give a legal judgment unless he was in the presence of Shimon ben Shetach, to keep him from making such an error. What is the explanation of this law, however, that after the witnesses have succeeded and had the defendant executed, that they no longer are put to death for their crime? It would seem, it looked at sensibly, according to Al-Pi Seichel, that it should be like the Sadducees say. The crime would seem to be more severe if the defendant was actually executed. But if he is not, it would seem to be more room for leniency. Yet the Torah rule is the opposite. They are put to death if they have not succeeded. And if they have succeeded, they are not put to death. How can we understand this? Two explanations are given for this. One explanation is that of the Kesef Mishnah, the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch, in his commentary on the Rambam's legal code. The Kesef Mishnah explains that the function of the death penalty in Jewish law is to effect a kapara, an atonement, for the person who committed a crime. That it is not merely punishment. But as in all punishments of the Torah, the idea of the punishment is to effect an atonement, that the person has done something to their own soul, and in order to expiate and to correct the blemish on their own soul, they must be punished. And the punishment is to elevate their soul and to bring it to its proper status. If a person has committed such a severe crime that the Torah outlines the death penalty, this shows that the only way their atonement can be achieved is through the death penalty. The Kesef Mishnah explains that a person that has issued false testimony and caused someone to be executed, for such a person there is no atonement. His sin has been so great, there is no way he can achieve kapara. Therefore, since the only excuse we have for taking away a life is to achieve its atonement, over here we cannot put this witness to death. These witnesses cannot be executed. Since the only way we can take away a life is to achieve an atonement, these witnesses cannot be killed. Even if they're being executed, they will not achieve their atonement. Therefore, we do not put them to death. Another explanation which is offered is that we see that Hashem never allows an improper or unjust verdict to be issued. Therefore, it must be that when this person was sentenced to death and actually executed, it must be that he was deserving of death. It could be that the act he was accused of doing and executed for was not the act of which he is deserving of death. And as we see, later on it becomes clarified that these witnesses were invalid, and we would therefore think it's an invalid judgment. However, although the judgment itself was invalid, Hashem would never allow an innocent person to be killed unless the person was deserving of it as a result of another act, or perhaps of this act. If it had been before the judgment had been executed, had been carried out, then we are obligated to investigate the truth to its fullest extent and find out what happened. And then we are assured that no invalid judgment will be passed. However, once the execution has been concluded, we see that it must have been decreed in the heavens for this person to die. And even though these witnesses have sinned, nevertheless we cannot put them to death, since they were merely carrying out a heavenly ordained judgment. The Tzemach Tzedek quotes the Zohar, or brings the idea of an Eid Zeimim, as those accusing the powers that are above in the heavens, and they accuse the Jewish people. And what do they accuse the Jewish people of? Of the sin of the golden calf, when the Jewish people made a mistake between Vav and Zion, between 6 and 7. This is referring to the end of the 40-day period, when Moses went up on the mountain and said he would return at the end of 40 days in the 6th hour of the day at noon. What mistake was made? One explanation which is given is that the Jewish people thought it was really time. They thought the 6th hour had passed and it was already the 7th hour, and then assumed that Moses was not coming. However, in reality, as a result of the cloudy day, it was the 6th, and they had made a mistake between the 6th and 7th hour. This is hinted to in the word Zeimim. Zeimim is spelled with a Zion, a Vav, and two Mems. Zion is the numerical value of 7, and Vav is the numerical value of 6, hinting to the 7th and 6th hours. And the two Mems spell out the word Mem, or 40. In other words, on the 40th day, the Jewish people made an error between the 6th and 7th hour. And as a result of this, they thought Moses was no longer coming back, and ended up building the golden calf. Therefore, says the Tzemach Tzedek, our sages decreed to burn chametz on Pesach, on Erev Pesach, between the 6th and 7th hours, to destroy this impurity which is trying to accuse the Jewish people by showing that we have a desire to remain attached to Hashem and to destroy anything which opposes Him. The Rambam concludes by saying all questions and details and standards of judgment for this law discussed in the Tractate Makos. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.